This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 27, where I talk with Stargirl about her poem HH. Also, I just wanted to quickly mention that Yellow Sweater and I are going to be hosting monthly online open mics from December through May of next year, and the next one is December 26th. You can sign up on the front page of YWP and join us for a very fun night of reading poetry and listening to other people read their poetry. You don't have to read one of your poems, but we always welcome it, and sometimes we have a chance at the end to read two poems. So please sign up if you're interested. We would love to have you join us, and we talk more about the open mic later on in this episode.
Hi, I'm Stargirl, and my poem is called HH. The first time I saw you, I didn't really see you, hardly even noticed you. My mind busy with other things, like staying 6 feet away from other people, how much food we bought. I didn't pay attention to you, the sandy-haired boy, working at the cash register on a Friday in Hannaford's. I only found out later from my mom that you had seen me and stopped moving, only to realize my mom was watching this and started bleeping through her groceries, still sneaking glances at me. Me, oblivious. Long after we left, long after you helped my little sister buy candy for her friend, long after mom complimented you, do you know what I did when I found out what had happened? I laughed to cover up my disappointment, and I regretted it, not noticing you or looking back at you. The next time I saw you, I was alone, standing under the fluorescent lights, got sent to the self-checkout right in front of you. When you saw me, you froze, like a deer caught in the headlights, literally did not blink, not even move. I held your gaze, warm caramel against blue, green, gray, brown, blue, neither of us moving, until an old lady in your line snapped at you to hurry up. She didn't have all day. Guess she wasn't having the best day. You blushed and looked down. I paid for my smart food popcorn, collected my receipt, and walked away. I told my friends about you. They tease me, refer to you as HH, Hannaford Hottie. They don't know.
Thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
So the whole thing is true. It actually all happened just like that.
That is so cool. And you know what else is so cool is that I read this poem not longer after I read Zoe B's poem, Boy in a Trench Coat, which is very, very similar. They're both true experiences. And I was like, this is so crazy that two people in Vermont have had such similar experiences at a grocery store, right? Where they like think that they meet their soulmate and like fall in love. I thought it would be interesting to have a mini series on Line Break called Hannaford Love Poems. So thank you for being a part of the mini series and sharing your poem with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, it was just so fun to me because I feel like there are a lot of times when I'm out in public and I see a boy my age and I'm like, what if we fell in love? What if like, this is my husband? I'm going to be telling my kids about this moment someday. So yeah. I feel like I'm the narrator in all of these poems. So what was the first line that you thought of and how did you go from there?
I sort of take things that happen in real life and reword them in a way that makes sense to me. Like I have problems sometimes talking to people about what I really feel and I open my mouth and nothing comes out. And then I write down a poem and everything just flows out.
Do you think that having the actual experience made the writing process easier?
Definitely, yeah.
And I was wondering, did you write down like a little journal entry about this? Or when did like the writing process from the experience happen?
I did actually write down a journal entry about that. And then it just sort of progressed from there.
It's so cool. I'm so glad that you could take inspiration from this crazy experience and turn it into a poem. So what line felt like you had finally captured what you were imagining?
Probably when I laughed to cover up my disappointment, because I really didn't notice. Like I had a brief moment where we got into line and I was like, oh, is he looking at me? And then I thought immediately, no, he's not. And then later, my mom started to say, I should tell you about this. And then she changed her mind and said, no, I shouldn't, because he didn't notice. And I got her to tell me. And that's when I was like, oh, this could actually go well.
That's so cool. It's just so fascinating to me that this happened. Like, you didn't notice, and then your mom was almost not going to tell you, and then you wouldn't have ever known. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So there are so many lines in here that stick out to me, like the sandy-haired boy working the cash register on a Friday in Hannaford's. And I love this line because it immediately makes this scene come to life. You know, you can picture this boy at the cash register in a grocery store, you know, during this pandemic when everyone has to stay distance and they've got like the stickers on the floor saying, stand here and stand here. And, you know, it's just kind of chaos with everyone trying to get out of there as quickly as possible. So it's so cool to imagine that. And also, quick note for people who are not from Vermont, because I think it's just a Vermont thing, Hannaford's is a grocery store. I don't think, maybe there are a few in like New Hampshire, Massachusetts, but I think it's pretty much just Vermont. So anyway, it's a grocery store like your Ralph's or Publix or what have you. So anyway, I just love that line. And when you were writing this poem, did you ever think of writing it in a different setting, like placing it in a school?
I did think about that, but I've been homeschooled since third grade. And so I can't picture myself in a school. And I like to be able to picture myself in that setting or have been in that setting. So I did think about that, but I just decided to tell like it was.
That's really cool. I was homeschooled too for my whole life. And now I am in college, but technically I would be a junior in high school. Anytime that I read about schools and books, I always immediately thought about like High School Musical. And just the first image that came to mind was like all these beautiful teenagers, well-dressed and groomed nicely and just like standing by their lockers and bursting out into song and dance occasionally. So I had very unrealistic expectations of what high school would be and like what an actual school would be like. And I think it's interesting for homeschoolers too to see how differently like high school is portrayed in TV shows and movies from like what it's actually like, because like the stories I've heard from my friends about public high school doesn't sound great. It sounds pretty bad, but I feel like not a lot of that is really shown in TV shows.
I hear a lot of things about high school that make me think like, oh, I don't want to go. And then I hear other things like people have so many friends there, and like I have a bunch of friends, but like I feel like it'd be fun to have a ton of friends. And that's what I get from hearing people tell stories about going to high school.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like homeschooling is always defined by how many friends you have. Like, that's the first question I got asked when I was homeschooled was, how many friends do you have? Do you have any friends? What's it like not having any friends? You know, it was never like, what's it like to learn at home? And what do you like to focus your studies on? What do you like to read? It wasn't ever like interesting questions like that. It was always like trying to figure out how many friends I have. And then after they figured out how many friends I have, how weird am I? You know, like, should they back away from me slowly or can I continue the conversation? It's just, it always put me in a really awkward position because I felt like I had to sort of, I don't know, defend myself for like having friends and like being able to socialize and stuff. But I get what you're saying. I definitely agree that just the sense of like always being with your friends and always having someone to talk to in person sounds fun. I think that there are a lot of other ways to get that social aspect.
Yeah, definitely.
Another line is, I only found out later from my mom that you had seen me and stopped moving, only to realize my mom was watching this and started bleeping through our groceries, still sneaking glances at me. And this is so interesting also to me. Like, why did the boy pause? Why did he stop moving?
I don't know. I guess maybe because he saw me or something. It's funny because every time I go into the store and I see him there, I always wonder sometimes, like, what would happen if I just randomly got in his line and tried to talk to him? Would he be able to talk to me, or would he just stand there again?
Ooh, this is interesting.
Because both times I've seen him, he stopped moving. Like, he hasn't even, like, been blinking.
Wow, it's so fascinating to me. Like, is he just so shocked to see you? Or, like, does he know you somehow?
It's funny. Like, I'm pretty sure we've never ever met, And at the same time, like, sometimes, like, oh, maybe he is my soulmate because he seems so familiar.
Wow, that's so crazy. But you haven't talked yet?
No, not yet.
Oh my gosh, I want you to talk. I want you to tell us all about it. Some more lines. Do you know what I did when I found out what had happened? I laughed to cover up my disappointment. I think this is so relatable because I think we've all been in a situation where you don't really realize what's happening in the moment. Then you find out what was happening later. And then you're like, oh, I wish I could have done something. I wish I could have noticed it. I wish I could have changed something. And then all you can do is just kind of like laugh it off, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much went like that. I was like, oh, wish I had done something else. But I didn't, because I didn't realize it was happening.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the next stanza where I was alone, standing under the fluorescent lights, got sent to the self-checkout right in front of you when you saw me and froze like a deer in the headlights. And again, this way is like frozen in a place, and it's making the reader wonder, like, what's happening? Why is he so, like, caught off guard?
Yeah, it was interesting because I looked up at the same time he looked up and we saw each other, and he was about to help a little old lady and his hands were in midair and they froze like that. And it went on like that until the little old lady he was supposed to be helping started like telling him like, hurry up, I don't have all day, you teenagers and stuff like that. And then literally started snapping her fingers at him to hurry up. And he unfroze immediately and like started helping, but
I really want to know the story behind this. I want to hear it from his perspective.
Yeah.
We should try to find him, stalk him, but in that creepy way. So, and then another line is, I held your gaze, warm caramel against blue, green, gray, brown, blue. What was the inspiration for that part?
So one of the first things I notice about people when I meet them for the first time is their eye color and whether or not they have like a warm gaze or it's like cold, like don't cross me, or it's sort of in between. And his was like a very warm, it was like a sort of a melting gaze, if that makes any sense. So that was the inspiration for that line. And then also like I made eye contact with him and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the other thing that's interesting is that since we're all wearing masks now, basically the only thing about ourselves that we can see is our eyes, right? You have to just kind of find a way to communicate with your eyes and to somehow like smile when you walk by someone and make eye contact with them, even though they can't tell that you're smiling. So it's interesting now that like we have to rely on our eyes for communication in a way. The description of colors was interesting to me again because in Zoe B's poem, not to be comparing them back and forth, but she also had descriptions of the guy's eyes and just like what the colors and just describing everything so vividly. And I feel like it's so interesting that you both had that like heavy color descriptions.
Yeah. I emailed her and I was like, where'd you see this boy? Because I was wondering, like, it would have been crazy if it was the same person. And she was like, oh, it was in Williston, so. It wasn't, but that would have been crazy.
Oh my gosh, so crazy if you had both, like, thought you found your soulmate, but it was the same person. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And your ending, actually. I told my friends about you, they tease me, refer to you as HH, Hannaford Hottie, they don't know. What was the inspiration for that?
Well, I've told my friends about him and like they've teased me about him, but what really got me was they've never seen him, they've never met him, they don't know anything about him, so they tease me, like in a loving way, of course, and they don't really have anything to back that up with.
Yeah, it's funny to me too because I always was convinced that I met my soulmate no matter where I went, no matter who I met. Actually, I would just be convinced that we're soulmates. And I tell my friends about it, and then they would start, like, asking me about the boy, like, days and weeks and months later, like, oh, did you talk to him? Oh, are you dating now? Oh, did you ever see him again? And then by then I'd be moved on to someone else. But it's funny because that, like, relationship between you and your friends and talking about, like, your potential soulmate just reminds me so much of what I used to do when I was younger, which when I was younger, I mean like last year.
Yeah.
So Some questions about writing now. How did you first get into writing?
Well, I've been writing since I was 9, and it first started with I was reading when I was really little at a very young age. I was able to talk really well at a very young age. And then I realized I loved all the books that I read, and I started realizing, oh, I can create these stories too. And so I did, but I wouldn't write them really in a story format. It would be in a poetry format, so like free verse. And it was funny because I would write them and I would show them to people. I would take them and read them at our local library, and they would tell me, oh, this is really good. And I was at a very skeptical age where I thought, oh, they're probably just telling me that because I'm this age. And then like later I found out that they actually really meant it.
I think it's really great when you can get support from your friends and family community, because that really just inspires you to continue creating writing and stuff. And it's so cool that you're able to do that at such a young age. Yeah. So what draws you to poetry?
It's a way I can express myself. And I, like I said before, I'm not very good at telling people how I really feel out loud. So like if I'm mad or sad or really, really happy, or I remember something so strongly that I might start crying, as soon as I think of all that, just these lines just appear in my head and I have to write them down before I forget them.
Yeah, that's the blessing and the curse of being a writer, is that you think of such great lines, and then if you don't write it down, you'll forget it and you're never going to remember it. But
yeah,
I agree that it's a great way to kind of express your feelings without having to directly say it, because that can be a really scary thing sometimes, to like have to share your feelings and like know that you might be judged for them.
Yeah.
I've been writing poetry for a few years now, but I haven't really thought that much about why I write poetry instead of like fiction, but I guess it's just because when I write poetry, it sounds right. You know, like you can't really describe the feeling. It's kind of indescribable, but like when you write a line of poetry or an entire poem, it just feels right in your heart, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you write fiction as well? Do you ever venture into different writing forms?
I've tried writing haikus that did not go well. I've tried writing in rhyming verse, and that did not go well either at all. So I really try to stick with free verse. I always try to start writing. Sometimes I'll write fictional stories or nonfiction, and then it just stops. Like I'll get in a good flow. I'll be able to make it far, kind of far, and then it just stops and I have nothing left.
Yeah, I had that same struggle too. I wrote like 40 pages of a story once and then blip, I couldn't get any more out. It was so weird because I was so committed to it. I had established such a like deep setting, and like I knew the characters so well. I knew their backstories. I knew the town. I knew this. I knew that. Then for some reason I was like 40 pages in, and then I was like, I can't do this anymore.
With me, it was, I started a story. My brother and sister loved it. It was more for, I was writing it for them, really. It was an adventure story, but magical. And I got, I think, 38 pages in, and I stopped for the day. And then the next morning, I could not find it anywhere. And for the past few years, my brother and sister will sometimes still be like, are you going to ever finish that story? It was so good. And it'd be like, I don't know where it is. And they'd be like, you had it just the other day. But I haven't had it for years.
That's crazy. I know. I lose writing sometimes too, like physical and on my computer, and it freaks me out. Oh my gosh. Recently, I had to move all of my line break files, like all the recordings and my notes and all the edited audio and the original audio, like everything about it. I had to move it onto a flash drive, and then I had to delete it from my computer so that I had more space. Oh my gosh, I was freaking out when I had to delete it, because I was like, what if it's not on the flash drive? What if I lose everything I've spent the past 10 months doing? What if this is it? It's all going to be gone forever. But I have it all saved. It all worked out fine. But just, like, knowing that I could have lost it forever really freaked me out.
Yeah.
This is an important question that defines a line break episode. What books have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
Definitely On the Come Up by Angie Thomas. That was such a powerful book. And then also I'll Give You the Sun by Jandy Nelson is one of my favorite books I've ever read. And it really helps define my writing, I feel like.
I love Jandy Nelson. Oh my gosh. She's one of my all-time favorite authors. Just like her writing is so vivid and so amazing. And it's like so surreal. Like you're in the book with the characters. It's crazy. And yeah. I just love the way that she describes everything. And she wrote another book, actually, The Sky is Everywhere. Have you read it?
I haven't read that one yet.
It's very good. And that one's very interesting also because she actually has, I think, a master's degree in poetry from VCFA in Montpelier, I'm pretty sure. And so she has a bunch of poems woven into the story. And it's so cool to see how, like, this narrator writes poetry for her sister who's died. And then she, like, combines those with the prose, and it's just so amazing. I love her so much. And I really want her to write another book.
I know, I've been waiting. I'm like, is she gonna come out with another book? Is it gonna happen?
Yeah. I know. I feel like it's kind of unfair, but there are so many times when I'm just mad at authors for not having more books. Like, why haven't you written anything else? What have you been doing?
I always think that too, and then it brings me to the point though where I'm like, well, I always start writing stories. I've never finished one because I just run out. So I wonder if maybe, like, for them it's they write the book and then they just don't have anything else left. Like, they have nothing to write down.
Yeah, and I feel like there's probably also a large amount of pressure put on them because if they have, like, this best-selling book and then they write another one, then there's like, well, what if this one isn't as good as the other one, you know? What if people don't like it? What if this is like the last book I ever write, you know? But maybe not. Maybe they're able to just write and continue writing all the time. And other questions. What do you think your writing style is and how did you find it?
My writing style, I'm pretty sure, is poetry and free verse. And really, it happened when I found out I could write stories, but not in the way that other people wrote them. I could write them the way I wanted to.
That's really great. And how did you discover YWP, and what role does it play in your life?
Well, I found it out like a few years ago. My mom kept suggesting it. I think you'd really like this. I think it'll be really good for you. And I wasn't that interested. And then this year, I'd never really paid attention to what she was saying about it, unfortunately. And this year, I found out that I could have my own blog and people would see my writing. And that was one of the things I was always thinking about, was I was always thinking I want to be remembered for my writing, not the way I write, but for my writing.
I'm so glad that you can be enjoying the YWP community. I think that a lot of us have heard about it for several years, but not really gotten involved until recently, like this year or the year before. But it's so fun for me too to feel like it's still a new thing to me, because even though I've been on the site for 4 years, it still feels new every time I do a podcast episode and every time I go to a workshop or look at Tiny Writes. It's just, there's so much to discover and look at and share and comment on. What is the best writing advice that you've ever gotten?
One of the things that I was told, well, actually, I found it in a book. I don't remember what book it was or who it was by, but it said, don't let the way people see you shape the way you write. Write how you want to become. And I just thought that was really interesting because I guess writing, for me, it's definitely helping me define who I am. And for other people, it might be, they might think it's weird or they don't like it. But for people who write, it's really, really helpful for them to be who they want to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think that For a lot of people, writing is like the one place where they feel like they can just be truly themselves. They don't have to like put on a facade or a mask or anything.
Exactly.
And what advice would you give to someone else?
I would say it doesn't matter how other people see you writing. It matters how you see it. And if you like it, then it's good.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, and I say all the time is that it doesn't really matter what other people say about your writing. What matters is what you think about it and how it makes you feel. And I know it's a lot easier said than done, but truly just like knowing that you wrote it, so it's amazing, is just something to keep in mind. Right? Because I think that it's difficult when you, like, there's a chance that other people could not like something that you did, and you know, you feel like you're a failure. But if you did it, then it's great. You should love your writing because it's your writing.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy sharing your writing, or do you prefer keeping it to yourself? And have you found that sharing your writing makes you feel more confident?
Well, it used to be I didn't let anyone see my writing. My friends didn't even know that I was a writer. Like, they knew I liked to write, but they didn't know that I wrote poetry or anything like that. And when I came to Young Writers Project, I was like, oh, I can share my work with people who will understand it and get me. Because I've told my parents about it, I've showed them my poetry, and it's always, oh, that's nice.
And did you say that you used to share your poetry at the library?
Yeah, there was a Tuesday night open microphone, and it was usually the same crowd, and those people became like family to me, and they always brought snacks, which were one of my favorite part. And then I would share my writing with them, and they would always compliment it and show me ways to define myself a little bit more. And they would share theirs as well. And some of the poems really, really helped me realize that, like, oh, I can write in my own way. And if people don't like it, then they don't like it. And that's not my problem.
Mm-hmm. It's great that you could have that community to like support you and make you feel more confident sharing and just writing in general. I went to open mics a lot when I was first starting out writing, and I felt like that definitely helped me have more courage in my writing, and like physically too, just reading it. Like having someone there to applaud me and go like, this is the beginning, to like send you good vibes. It just makes you feel a lot better about it. How many years did you do that?
Starting when I was 7, and then I went until I was 10, I think. So only 3 years, but we did it every Tuesday night. It was like one of my requirements. I wouldn't eat dinner unless I went.
That's so cool that you could have that for so long too. Well, we haven't had a whole ton of open mics in YWP, but we're starting to have monthly open mics online. From December to May, we've got them all scheduled. I'm hosting them with Yellow Sweater, and we've decided to make Oh Snap, which is our online open mic, a series. It's really exciting. The next one is December 26th, so sign up if you're interested. And it's really good. You don't have to read if you don't want to, but last time we had like 9 or 10 people. Some of them came to read, some of them just came to listen, and it was really great to hear everyone's work.
That's awesome.
And it's a really fun environment too, because it's just us hosting. And yeah, it's really great. And then I record the whole thing so that you can watch it back if you want to. I feel like we haven't really had a chance to share writing during the pandemic, you know, like even though you can post your writing on YWP, we haven't really had a chance before then to, you know, read writing to each other and hear everyone read like an open mic. So I'm glad we're doing it online. Do you ever combine art and writing?
Not really. It's more I combine my pictures and writing. So I have a whole wall of photos in my room of just all my memories. And it really, really connects me to like everything. Like I can look at a picture with the poem memorized and I will be right back where I was in that picture.
That's really great that you can have that. How do you find new poems to read? Like, do you search on Google? Do you buy anthologies? That kind of thing.
I find a lot on Young Writers Project. And then I also, my aunt knows how much I love to read and how much I love poetry. And she's always saying, come look at this, I found this. And I'll go and see it. And I'll be like, whoa, this is awesome.
My aunt sends me a couple of books sometimes, so it's always nice to get a package from her and see what she sent me. Yeah, I read a lot of poetry on Young Writers Project. I have a couple of anthologies, but I don't look at them a lot. And sometimes I just Google poems, or sometimes I Google quotes, and then through that I can find poems and poets. It's so fun to just be searching for poetry for hours on the internet. I mean, some people might think that it's like a really boring thing to do, but it's actually really fun. And yeah. I always love finding an author that's really amazing and then going to their website and seeing that they have like dozens of books and dozens of published poems. And it's like, oh my gosh, there's so much I have to read.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider publishing a collection of your poetry?
I've never really thought about it, to be honest. I mean, I think it'd be cool, but at the same time, I only want people who understand it to see it. Like, I don't want it to be seen and then people forget it. Like, I want it to be seen and then people remember it.
Yeah, I get that. If you did, though, have a hypothetical collection, what do you think you would call it?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that a lot. Mm-hmm. It'd probably be something like the names of my poems. Some of them are totally random, like Peppermint Tea. It has nothing to do with that poem, but it just fits. And so, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting to me too, now that you mentioned that about titles, because for the most part, my titles don't really have anything to do with the poem. I mean, sometimes, like, if it's something that I mention in the poem, I'll have that as the title. Or sometimes, this is interesting, I'll make the title like a word that could go before the first line. So like, I'll do yesterday or today or Tuesday or something like that. And then you can read it with the first line and it like flows. So it's interesting to do that. But yeah, I think that I actually hide a lot of like inside references to my life within my titles and stuff. So like, little things that I add in have a lot of meaning. Do you find that you add in little tidbits from your life to your poems?
Yeah, I definitely do. It's a lot of, like, some of them are sometimes bits and pieces of dreams I had, or just this random thing I saw out in town the other day, or things like that, like an avocado bucket hat. Random, really random things, but it just somehow fits.
Yeah, I do that too, or like conversations I have with my friends, little things that we talk about I put in. So it's fun to do that too, and then to share it with my friends and my family and have them be like, oh, that's something that we talked about, or that's something that we did together. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so glad that we got to talk today. It was a lot of fun hearing more about your poem and your writing process and all these other cool things.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This has been episode 27 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 28. Bye!